live.
View on Twitch. Oh yeah, we're good. Okay, I'm gonna go to. Bear with me. Going into the Discord. Live chat. Paste. Beer, bourbon, playing ball. Going live at you. Guys ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, before I hit that and they jump on, since we're already screaming a little bit, but you guys got some of the questions or whatever, we'll jump right on.
I got nothing.
Yeah, okay, I mean, you put it in there.
Yeah.
Start with what we're drinking.
You got your bourbon, yeah.
Yep. Oh, are we doing video on this?
Yeah.
No, we don't have to do video.
Okay. I'm just running around with Rowan, so.
What do you want to do? No video?
I'll do video. I want people to see my face.
Okay.
I don't care. I got Rowan, so hard right
You're
now.
Good.
Hey, Jokers is live on Twitch. There he is.
How was it, man?
All right, we're ready.
All right. Well, welcome to the first edition of Beer, Bourbon, and Ball, brought to you by the Barakoff Bros and Joe. How are you guys doing today?
Joe, this is what people have been waiting for, something that we talk real life bourbon. And I'll start, right? So I broke open a $140 bottle today, Colonel Taylor Kentucky Bourbon tonight for this show, for the first ever show. What do you guys? What do you got, Joe? And Jeff Daddy, what do you got?
Well, I went with a bottle that's near and dear to me, Four Roses, single barrel. I'm actually pouring some right now in my Michael Jordan whiskey cup that I got. It looks like Jeff Daddy went with the same as me.
Same thing, big dog.
Yeah. Single barrel, Four Roses, 2024 World Whiskey Award for best single barrel. You can get this pretty much at any liquor store. Not higher balling like Mr. Barakoff, but $49.99 right here. Delicious bottle.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, yeah, I got the same thing, bud. I got the same thing with you. I'm going to have just a little bit tonight, but we'll taste it out.
Yeah. A few things I love about it. From a tasting perspective, rich, caramel, some cherries, vanilla. It's got a little bit of a burn on the back end, which I like.
I wish you just weren't reading that, but I wish it was just coming off the cuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can I do?
A little spice on there, right, Joe? Is that what you would think?
A little bit of spice. There's a little heat to it, right? Let me ask you this. Do either of you guys put a little splash of water in with your bourbon, or is that weak man game?
I do not do that. I don't even put ice in. I know some people like that. I like drinking mine straight, sipping on it. I mean, this $140 bottle, I guess you could say it's high-end. I mean, it was a gift. I didn't obviously go out and buy this, but it was a 50 birthday gift. Smooth. So I don't know. I don't put a splash of anything. I don't even go a little ice. I don't know.
Are you Jeff Daddy? Jay Pono?
I'm either way. You know, if I'm going to enjoy it and want to just really, really taste and smell the flavor, I'm just going to have a little bit neat. And then, probably then if I add a little bit of ice, it'd be a rock. And I would like to just see if there are any new flavors that I can find, any new smells. That's how I would approach a bottle of bourbon, just respectfully and you know, elegant, gentlemanly. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, Joe, Jeff Daddy, when I play an NDL game, I'm always drinking bourbon. I just go straight. One, because I'm getting probably my butt kicked, and two, it just, I like to savor it while I savor a good NDL game, but that's just me.
Speaking of the NDL, we're off to season 32. I think you two have got legendary status when you look at total seasons in the league. But as we jumped into season 32, what's your guys' early thoughts so far?
Let it fly, Syracuse. Come on, baby.
Well, listen, I played Georgia Tech, Texas A&M. I've lost by 8-3. I had the ball in each game to tie it. Or Texas A&M case, the dude, my man, 6 foot, threw a bomb to beat me in the last second. So Syracuse, 0-2. But I'll tell you what, if you read the articles that Syracuse puts out, my fans love me. They carried me out of the locker room in tears after the Texas A&M game. But Jeff Daddy, I saw, had a big win against James Madison. I saw that the chat board was going crazy. And Joe, didn't you just have a beefy cup win with South Florida?
I did. Took down my beloved Bearcats of Sam Houston State, Vic. playing him. I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you before, but you punt the ball and you're going to catch a fair catch, like on the 10 or 15, your guy kind of runs out. You got the backspin and the ball bounces back and hits your guy. Yeah. It's like a live fumble. Yeah.
Terrible.
Happened to Vic. I picked it up, ran it in for a touchdown. I thought he was going to have a mental breakdown. So that's how I got my early lead on Vic at Sam Houston State.
Regardless, it's a good win. It's happened to all of us.
Yeah, it's the way it works, man. Vic's it's the a way good it works, player. Right? He is a good player. I like his. I've done a couple calls with him. He's got a smooth little voice too.
Yeah, Mark. Can we go? Can we rewind the fact that your team carried you out after the locker room? I want to talk about that moment for you and how special that really was.
I'll tell you, nice thing about the Syracuse fan base. I went back through the history of Syracuse for every season. They've had two good years, so there's not a lot of expectations when you're the coach at Syracuse, especially for me since season one, 70 wins in my career. That's not a whole heck of a lot, but the fan base has, like, taken to the persona of me. And I had boosters came into the locker room at Texas A&M, and they saw me in the showers curled up in a ball crying after 6 foot beat me, and they carried me out. I mean, tell me in the NDL where that happens. That doesn't happen anywhere but with me and Syracuse.
Arguably, I could say that probably has never happened. We'd have to do some fact-checking on that, Mark, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's mysterious lore, mythical magic that I'm probably talking about, but I do remember getting carried out of the locker room in tears.
Yeah.
Are the Orange Men going to bounce back? I mean, who do we got in week three? Have we?
It doesn't get any easier for us. We have Baylor and Stanford, so it could be a good 0-4 start for the boys. Sorry, but that's just how it's going to be. Who does Hawaii and Joe? You haven't even played a game yet.
I can't get a game. Can't get a game scheduled. You got Michigan State. He's reached out to me, and then the UMass owner is down and out. He reached out to me and told me he's extremely sick and can't be playing right now. So,
that's not good. Hope he's okay.
Yeah, sounds like he had the case of what everyone's got right now, the shits. Prevented him from joining the game. So I can't hit. Hopefully these guys schedule it up. I need to get my 0-2 start.
Now, yeah. Who does Hawaii have?
I have two byes.
Two byes. So you start the season with a win in the East Coast at James Madison and two byes to get your guys right.
Yeah, exactly. Then in week 5 and 6, I have NC State and San Diego State. So two fun ones. I'll probably smash both of those owners, Homie and Big Z. Both are inferior to my J-Pono attack. So, although I don't think I've beaten either of those guys ever, but regardless, they're inferior.
So let me touch on that with you two. I seem to get a lot of out of conference requests. Is that just because I'm cool or because they look at my non-con record and think, I'll beat this Barakoff guy. He's an easy win.
I would say both, Mark, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd say both too. You might be up there with Wobbles on that.
Wow. Okay. I think if you look at the history of me, I've beaten some good dudes in this league. Doesn't happen often, but I have beaten some dudes. Wow. Thanks, Joe. Wobbles, no offense to you, buddy, but I don't know. I beat Wobbles in a blitz game, so come on now.
I'm only teasing. I'm busting chops. Hey, but you know, Jay Pono, I think Brandon Schrager's back in the top five QBs passing yards so far. Is he gonna take down that one spot again, or?
Yeah, he probably will, Joe. I did some different things last season. But he'll be back. He should. He likes the number one spot.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to say my tight end got robbed. I know Washington State and Liquid had a good guy, but Gadsden is the best tight end in this league. You could argue with me all you want, but Gadsden's the best tight end. And there might be some articles going out about this. I'm a little flustered. That Gadsden doesn't get any more love from the NDL. It's all about these high-end teams, but not Gadsden. So I'm a little ticked off.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, it looks like we're starting to get some people on. And, you know, I think maybe a little backstory on just what our goal is on this podcast, to talk a little bourbon, talk a lot of beer, and then talk ball. Not just NDL ball, but ball across all the sports and what's going on in America, and I'm sure Jeff Daddy likes his European soccer, so maybe we'll get that in there a little bit. But we're talking about the current situation right now. I want to know with you guys, where does the Masters fall? When you talk Masters, where does it fall in all-time sporting events? Is it top three, top five? What is it for you guys?
Gosh, that's a great question.
I would say it falls for me right after. If the Dodgers are in the World Series, then it's the Dodgers in the World Series, the Masters, and then obviously for me, the Super Bowl if the Rams are in it. But the Masters, you can't beat it, right? I mean, I know there's some complaining about you can on Thursday and Friday see like the whole tournament. You have to only see a certain thing, but there's nothing better than the Masters, right? I mean, it's legendary. I watched in the office all day. Masters, got home, watched the Masters. So I don't know. Joe, what about you?
Masters is probably the one, when I think of things that I would love to have an opportunity to win, I'm not sure there's anything more. I don't think there's anything more that you could win and that puts you at a higher standard. When you win the Masters, it kind of goes down one name, one person, one green jacket, one locker for life. You know, it's a special venue, special thing. I'm saying it's top three, if not number one. I love those commercials, like, you know, like January, it tells you how many days until the Masters come. Fires me up every time. So I'm loving it.
You, wow, Jeff, not number one. I think there's 48 college basketball games that I'd put ahead in a 2-day, 3-day, 4-day span that I enjoy better. I enjoy the national championship college basketball game. Any game seven of the NBA finals. Dodgers in the World Series. Dodgers in any playoff game. I just, for me personally, there's more juice. But I would say I did watch the Masters today on my laptop, and it's the best golf event for sure. I put it in, you know, the top 50, 75, just because of all the college basketball games.
Okay, well then let's just say then the last 2 weeks, the NCAA tournament leading into the Masters, this is like the best 2 weeks then of sports, right?
Yeah, there you go. There it is. Yeah, yes.
I think that would be a better way to put it then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. There might not be a better yeah, I agree. April might be the best. Early April.
I mean, because you get the tournament for how many, whatever, 3 weeks, and then the whole time they're pumping the Masters. And then you've got Monday, Sunday through whatever, Wednesday, and then you get the Masters for 4 days. And then this is the best couple weeks of sports right here. I think that's not an argument.
Yeah, I know we're a football league, but that Final Four was one of the best Final Fours we've seen. That ranks up there with incredible Final Fours for basketball.
So with that being said, with Joe, let's ask you to this, Joe, with the tournament, are we not going to see Cinderella teams or sleeper teams anymore because of how much NIL money. And I mean, one of the stats was there were no freshmen that played in that national championship game for the first time in so long. So are you just going to see all the power teams in the Elite Eight?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, teams are just going to load up, and it's going to be, you know, what I don't want to see is it's going to be the LeBron James era of college basketball, where they're just going to build these teams that are outrageous, that, you know, just going to by far have the best players, have dudes sitting on the bench to probably start in majority of the other places across the country. I don't like it. I like the 12 seed winning. I like the 13-14 Cinderella team, Davis and Steph Curry making it, you know, exciting. But 4-1 seeds hasn't happened for a long time. What was it? 2008 was the last time it happened, or 2013?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think you're still going to see maybe the upsets early, but I don't think you're going to see them late, because I think these teams are just loading up with older guys, and it stinks. I mean, not that anybody maybe cares in the NDL about recruiting, but high school kids just aren't getting recruited anymore. I talked to a former player of mine today whose son is one of the best point guards in Utah, and he's like, I don't even worry about getting recruited right now. It's like the time of college basketball is changing. So it's different times, man.
Does John Rahm, Ram, whatever, does he bounce back tomorrow? Someone tell me. He's on my fantasy team. It's killing me.
For my league's sake, I hope he doesn't, but you got to think he would, right? He looked bad today. He looked all out of sorts.
Texas Noel, yeah, he's a bum. No. Yeah, he was struggling today, man. He really was. Gosh.
Yeah. How about the 15th hole today? The 15th hole was kicking people's ass. And that one guy, Dunlap, shot 90? He shot 90.
Was that what he ended up with?
Yeah, 18 over.
Man. Yeah, that's tough.
How about Freddie Couples getting an eagle today?
Yeah, nice 190 hybrid. Rolled that bad boy right in.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about Rahm. Is Scottie Scheffler that good? I mean, he's that good, right? Rose has got, what, a four-shot lead right now, but Scheffler in second? Man, that's scary. And DeChambeau is right there. Man, it's some high hitters right there.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I think that was one of the next questions I was going to say, is who's going to win the Masters? It's not good. That's Tiger sitting four back. Current Tiger is Scheffler. And yeah, if you're Justin Rose, you better come out and be pretty sharp tomorrow to maintain that lead, because I think if Scheffler gets things going, the man hits the ball so straight, rolls, putts in. I mean, you open up the round with a 20-footer, I think, drained it for birdie. So,
yeah. Block's got a great question, you guys. Did you see his talking about that bill? In the chat, he's asking if the bill passes, you know, to force the revenue share with the student athletes, what does that do for the smaller schools? And can they even sustain revenue generating sports like basketball? It's a really phenomenal question. As you saw, what was that school, St. Francis? I forget the name of it back east, who made the tournament this year. And then now they've announced they're going to go D3. Block, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows, right? There has to be some creative ways for those smaller mid majors to get creative and raise money to offset that. But I don't know. Mark, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I was talking to our golf coach at my school today. Eastern Michigan has this, it's called Game On, and they've put a ton of money, like, for instance, just into their golf program. And they got an SEC coach, if I'm not mistaken, an SEC coach to come over to Eastern Michigan. But the smaller schools, you know, like if you look at the WCC, Gonzaga, Santa Clara, San Francisco, St. Mary's have great money. But the smaller schools, I mean, if you look at it, they're getting D2, D3 guys transferring in. I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know. The high majors, there's so much money with those schools. Like the SEC is like a pro league, right? So that's a great question, Block. I don't know. I've heard a lot of guys frustrated that they can't compete financially with bigger schools. I hear that a lot from buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Well said.
Great. Yeah, there was some talking about NIL money and transfer portal talk. Nico, Tennessee's quarterback, all of a sudden asking for more money. He had an $8 million deal, and he's saying he's going to the portal if he doesn't get a new deal from Tennessee. So this stuff's getting out of control, I think.
Yeah, but Tennessee's going to be able to pay it, right, Joe? You're a diehard Tennessee guy.
At a certain point, he hasn't beaten anybody. He does well against a couple of no-name teams like NC State, right? But then when he push comes to shove and you get into it, those teams, or you look at the college playoffs in Ohio State, they put belt to ass on them. So you have the number one recruit in the country, quarterback-wise, coming in next year. We got another couple quarterbacks below him. He goes, he goes. Way it works.
And, Texas will probably just get him because they've got more money. Look at BYU, what they're doing with basketball. They've got more money than anybody. So maybe he just goes to BYU for 10 mil. it's crazy.
I don't know. Let's get into a little bit of NDL talk. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
I'll start. I'm surprised season four is going so well because I thought I don't play video games all that much. For four seasons is a lot for me, but man, dudes are really getting into it. I mean, that's kind of impressive. People are really into season four.
Mark, I actually love it. For me, I'm out of my season of work of what I do. So I had a little more time to focus on the games, and I'm having a blast. I think it was a great call by the leadership team to throw it out there. I really do.
Yeah, let me touch on that. I don't think people realize that the three of us were all basketball coaches. So, like, season three was, almost impossible for us to try to even figure out when we're going to play, how we're going to play. But you're right. I mean, it's kind of the off season now with season four, and I'm able to get home at a certain time. And I've changed my tune with season four. So far, I've had a lot of fun in my first two games.
Yeah, you're actually playing really well. I've watched a couple of those. You're playing well. You look a little bit more well-oiled than last season, and for rightfully so, right? You get a little more time to get a couple more practice games, and it helps.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a guy on here, Jokers, that it plays like more blitz games than anybody. And I'm looking at like this, and I didn't even play one blitz game in the last go-around. Like, not one blitz game. And Jokers is like 32 and 22. And, it's like, how? I don't understand. Now, Jeff Daddy, that's your assistant coach. So I would be questioning, and he runs your defense. So, maybe you should be thinking about like what he's doing, while he's playing blitz games.
No, he performs. He's good. I have no issues with what he does.
I'm working on my defense. I'm just making sure I'm calling right sets, right? It's a different sport, but mentally, if I'm prepared on the defensive side, I think it translates, does it not?
I agree.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yep.
But season four has been good. Joe, have you seen, like, you're probably paying – I pay attention, but has there been – is there somebody that's jumping out at you, like that has really improved or gotten better or shocked you a little bit with season four?
Not so much. I think so far what I've seen is kind of like the same people doing the same things. I think one of the people that kind of has jumped out to me, two different people have jumped out to me with new teams and obviously great coaches. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do, both in the Big 12 as well, is Wilds at Texas Tech. And then Steamroller at Cincinnati. It's going to be interesting to see how those two do. I think they'll make some noise. Marion at Utah and Andy at Colorado, probably the favorites with their teams and the strength that they have. But I think those guys, they can do some talent. And then, you see Texas Noel running his mouth in the group chat right now on Twitch telling he put belt to ass against me. He didn't beat me that bad, but he beat me fair and square. But that speed at USC and his talent as a coach, you look at him almost making the CFP last year. I keep talking about him. I think he might be a surprise in the Big Ten. Maybe knock out Oregon from being that Big Ten favorite.
Do you see guys for this season four taking teams because they think these teams – next season are going to be really good, when EA puts out the rankings. Did you see that in the draft? Like, if you use me as example, I don't have a favorite college. I don't really watch college football like everybody else, so I don't really give a flying rip. But I wonder, do you think guys were taking teams because of what they're possibly going to be, or the guys that are in the portal transferring to these schools? Do you think that had a big factor?
One guy for sure that jumps out right away is Sammy. I know Sammy took Florida State because he thinks Florida State's going to be really good next year.
And he just lost to Georgia Tech.
He did. Ton of transfers going into that school. You know, you talk about my love for Tennessee, Squirrel White. He's transferring to Florida State. So Florida State's definitely loading up. I think we'll be one of those top teams in the game. Next year, we'll see if that, you know, if they can bounce back or not. But that'd be one coach right away that I thought took a team that he thought was going to be great for next year. I actually think a lot of guys maybe took teams to prepare for a better draft. You know, that was something you and I talked a lot about in the draft. So I was talking with Jay Pono about it. You know, this draft was important to set yourself up because you guys kept your teams, and I entered, and that was both your advices to me was this draft for a good draft for 2026.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if I have the ability to keep Syracuse, regardless of who they have coming back, I'll probably just keep Syracuse. So I don't really care, but I just found it interesting when I was thinking about it. You got to look ahead to next year's game because, I mean, like if you take Texas, I mean, are they going to be loaded? Oklahoma, you know, they're going to be way better, I think, than they were this last year on the game. It's interesting to see some of these guys and some of the moves they made. And I think some of it might be backfiring on some. They took these low-end teams and they're not winning with them. They're going to be right back where they started.
Yeah, and I mean, right there you see, looks in the group chat, Wilds is jumping in saying that's why he took Texas Tech. Feels like he's going to load up and get a good team for next year. So
that was a smart play by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did like that.
I'm dodging the SEC as much as you can.
Yeah. SEC would be stressful.
No, thank you.
Yeah. No, not thank my you. Thing.
I wish Marshall was still in the MAC so I can go back to the old days of season 2, 3, and 4 and just be my Marshall team and never leave. But I'm not doing that. I'm just going to be – I guess I'll just be an Orangeman the rest of my life.
If they'll have you.
Yeah, they might not after this season. I might not even win a game, so then I'm really out.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. We'll see what they offer. any big games, Joe? I haven't paid much attention this week. Any big games week 3 and 4 that are coming up that you think are going to set some things up?
I don't know if they set things up. I think there's some good games that are, you know, in these blocks. I think one of the games that is going to be, you know, defining to two seasons is Virginia Tech, Michigan. They got to play each other. They're both desperate for a win. Both their schedules don't get easier. So that's one game where, you know, I'm circling and saying somebody's got to win that game. And the loser, you know, might not be too great for them. Both might lose their team if they can't get it turned around. The other game that I noticed that I thought was a game that, you know, won't get talked about a lot, but another one where two good coaches is Indiana and UCLA. I think that the UCLA coach has been in the scrimmages. You talk about me playing a lot of blitz games. He plays a lot of blitz games, has a lot of wins. So Indiana's desperate for a win after that tough loss against Utah. So that'd be an interesting one that I have circled. You got the Washington Cup.
Yeah.
Washington State. You got Colorado State, although I expect Andy to put belt to ask on that.
That Virginia Tech game is intriguing to me because Chase is – he's a former NDL champion. And that's his squad. And with him with not being at Virginia Tech would be really strange to me. That's a big game. I'm glad you brought that one up.
You mentioned Sammy at Florida State. I'm pretty sure he takes on my Mountain West buddy, Rocca at Boise State. Is that correct? No.
He does. Yeah. He goes to Boise. So.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to play at that field, man.
That's an interesting one being Boise. Like, if you're Boise, do you care what you do this season? Because you're not going to have that stud anymore. So do you just, like, say, I'm just going to ride this thing out and then go into the draft? Or do you stay with Boise?
That's what I would think. Don't want to speak for Rocca, but.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
Aren't you gone? You're leaving, right?
If I don't have that running back, I've never had a good player like that before. So, yeah, sure.
You know, keep doubling down. You know, you're talking about the Mountain West. You know, block four, I think San Diego State goes on the road to Miami. Another big one. Big Z, I think, is a great coach. Does a great job with the San Diego State. Has a strong run game.
He'll play anybody, which is great. He'll just go anywhere and play anybody. That's what I dig about him.
Yeah. So Indiana plays Notre Dame. Another big game, block four. Block two, week four. So he's
Notre
got another
got two
games again. Yep.
Yeah, so those are big games.
Speaking of desperate for a win, James Madison's 0-2, and he has to go see Ohio State. That's difficult.
Yeah. Talking about he was definitely a G5 favorite, and you know, not the best start being 0-2, but you know what a great way to bounce back, get Ohio State at home and get a win. That'd be huge.
See it is not losing to James Madison. Come on now. There's no way. Sorry,
Arkansas Auburn's. Loading up. That's fun. Phew.
Yeah. Yeah. Arkansas coach is a great coach. Middle Tennessee took me down in the Conference USA championship last year. I think he runs a good game. Be interesting to see how he does. I don't know if you guys know this, but he's a offensive coordinator for a semi-pro team. So he sees basketball, or I mean, sees football a little bit different than probably us.
Do you say more? Talk about that.
Talk about what?
Who's he coaching for?
Oh, I think he coaches for Houston. Houston semi-pro team. That's if I remember right, that's what it was. The Houston Roughnecks. I'm gonna guess that's it. No, or Houston Raiders, Texas Red Raiders. I don't know. I wish he was on here. He can jump in for us. Houston Lobos, maybe. Semi-pro football
team.
That's
like nine different names, so.
I know. I don't know which one. I was in the chat with him the other day, and he was – I guess people were listening to him playing a game, so I jumped in to listen to him, and he was calling sets out as he was playing them. And they asked him, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting ready for – we have our first semi-pro game. And they're like, what do you do? He's an offensive coordinator, so pretty interesting.
The NDL never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. Odd bunch. I was doing a podcast yesterday, and I think the guy I was doing it with really believed that you were the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I get that a lot.
I loved it.
Do you think, you know, let's change topics here. Do you think that my brother and I are the only ones in the NDL that have ever been in a movie? What do you think the percentage is? People don't even probably know what we're talking about. I just thought I'd throw that out there at random.
95% chance that you two are the only ones.
Yeah.
Last season in Yale, we had somebody join the ACC that was Florida State, and he was in movies.
I'm not going to get involved in that, but yeah, he was in some movies. I followed the group chat. That was pretty entertaining for about 3 hours.
That was outrageous. Outrageous.
I've got a question for you, NDL. And I don't mean this as a negative thing. I'm going to go with my first thing, but what is your biggest pet peeve about the NDL? I'm going to give you mine.
Okay.
I don't think it's a pet peeve more than jealousy. What is up with all these dudes that get the opportunity to work from home? It's amazing to me when people don't know who you are and they're like, what is your availability? I could play from noon to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, at noon on a Tuesday? Like, what do you do? Well, I work from home. Like, that is like the coolest thing ever to me, that I'm in the office at 11 a.m. and there's games on, like on the live stream, like dudes are playing video games during the day. So I don't know if it's a pet peeve. Maybe more it's just out of jealousy. Like, it's very impressive to me. Anybody else, like, is there any other pet peeves, like, about the NDL? I'm always curious about this. Silence. No one wants to talk.
Campano, you in on this, or you want me to jump in?
He must be making chicken nuggets for Rowan.
Yeah, that's what I would guess. Look, NDL's fun. I think for me, the biggest pet peeve I have is it's the expectation that people have. I feel like sometimes people forget it's just a game. And what makes the NDL fun is the participation. Whether somebody participates as a jackass or participates as super serious, or just participates to have a good time, the most important thing is they're participating. You know, you're looking at somebody that's here I am, block one, can't get a game. And it sucks because I'd like to play and have a record. But, you know, people have lives, and that's the part that I definitely understand. But it's not so much that part that bothers me as much as the expectation that some people put on others, and it's not fair, right? Like, it's just not reality. It's a Nintendo game. So that's my biggest
opinion. That's great, Joe, because, like, it's like I remember back in when NDL first came out, it was, I mean, you were talking to guys on AOL, like chat, like, or in the message board. It was strange to go back to those days. Like, now we have Discord, and back in those days we had like a message board. Like, that thing always was going popping off. But, like, I don't know, in the live stream, it's so much easier now. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of my age. Yeah. Maybe it's just because of my age, but I find the NDL, like, these dudes take this thing really seriously. But I think that's what's fun about the NDL. You've got guys like me who don't give a rip. I could care less. I just want to have fun games and be realistic. And then you've got guys like they lose, and it's like, this is like game seven of the playoffs. And it's like, I bet it takes them 3-4 days to recover. Like, I just find that entertaining, but that's just, I don't know. I think that's what's neat about the NDL is that there's such a, like you said, such a wide range of expectations, I guess.
It is. It's huge. And, you know, I think it also comes to, when you think about it, it comes to the level of age discrepancy, right? You got kids in, you know, science class in their high school, you know, El Jefe, and those are my two favorite. And then you got people in their 50s, and, you know, everybody has a different view on it, and definitely different ways of handling it. Somebody put in the comics, 24-hour cool-off period for CR reports. I'd agree with that, too. I'd agree with that as well.
For some, 48 hours. I think, Joe, I somebody, the Georgia Tech guy, he asked me what my availability was. I don't know who it was. And I said, 3 to 5 p.m. That's my availability. He looked at me like, are you crazy? I'm like, yeah, because when I get home, I'm making dinner with my wife. We're having a glass of wine. We're watching our shows, and I'm going to bed. But it's been so again, I think it's just jealousy that I see dudes that work from home. Like, I want that job. Like, I don't need the stress of having to coach 18 to 23 year olds. And I'm relying on my livelihood on those guys. But, Joe, you're going to have to let, Jeff Daddy back in. He said he disappeared on us. Rowan probably went crazy. And, I would love to hear, I would love to hear Jeff Daddy's take. What do you have a pet peeve about the NDL? It doesn't have to be game related, but we were just talking about, I don't really give a flying rip if I win or lose, or people don't understand my time availability. Anything for you?
Can you guys hear me okay?
We hear you great.
Okay. Two things. One is going to the Discord and seeing 748 messages, and I've only went to the bathroom at work to take a leak and to go say hi to somebody. And I can't figure out how to catch up, so I give up, which sucks. And then two, I have a playing pet peeve. I just can't stand it's a habit, I think, for a lot of coaches. They don't know they're doing it, and it's not cheesing or anything, but when they just kind of like their quarterback starts going to the right, they're not running, but there's no rush. And I just kind of always laugh that, like, I love to stay in the pocket and try to like watch the linemen and all that stuff. And then when I step in, I'll go and watch the replay of my quarterback stepping up in the pocket. I think it's so cool. Probably why I suck, but
I don't, Jeff Daddy, I don't even know, like, when the quarterback runs, I don't even know how to switch on a defender to stop it. Like, I don't have the time to know what all those gadgets are. I finally figured out, like, if you hit R3 and triangle, you can, like, move your secondary around. But you're right. Like, I don't know how to run my quarterback out. And if, for God's sakes, if I do run him out, I don't even know how to throw it out of bounds. So, like, yeah, I'm with you on that. Man.
Yeah, oh,
man.
It's, like, it's just always fun. I think – because I play guys that I give fives to all the time. I love the guys that I play, but sometimes you play like something and they just start to creep over to the right, and you're like, dude, I got a three-man rush with my D-line playing the flat, and like he just keeps going right. He's not sprinting out there. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know.
I think
exactly.
It's just a habit because no
– lose him?
Yeah, it's that high-end Villa Park, Orange County stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I can't – my pet peeve was playing Sam Houston State last season, and I ran the ball on pretty good on everybody, and then Sam Houston State comes in, and I get 22 yards. So I should have given – that kind of bothered me also, man. But I don't know. I just – not pet peeves. I don't know. I don't even know how to change my own guys. Like when somebody's running, I don't even know how to switch it out over there. And people like bust on me like, you, I told you how to do this. Like, I don't remember what you told me 2 days earlier. So anyways, that was my big take from this bourbon and beer thing. Other than, you know, I think, Joe, I think your idea of doing this podcast is, this is like a real podcast. We're not talking like NDL. We're talking everything. And I think a lot of people are going to want to tune into this because we talk real stuff. Now, am I right on the money on that?
Yeah, yeah. It's not all NDL. We're gonna talk important things like bourbon. Yeah, we all need some bourbon. So
I'm almost done with mine.
Still haven't seen Che Pono sip his, so we'll keep waiting on that. we might talk beer, you never know. But we're gonna talk ball. We'll talk ball, we'll talk NDL, we'll talk any topics people throw in the chat. So just let us know. Just let us know. We wanna do that. We also wanna do maybe which I mean, we all know this took a while for us to figure out how to even get to where we're at right now. So when you're talking clicking R3 and throwing the ball out of bounds, that was easy compared to what we went through to get this going. But if we could get this going while somebody's playing a game, we called some of those games out week 3, week 4 that's coming up. Somebody might want to come on in here and play while we get, you know, like a Manning Brothers talk where we just talk. Maybe talk those plays, talk other things. I think that would be fun too. If we can get, you know, any volunteers.
Joe, that's a phenomenal idea. I love that. I would be down with that. Now, it's 9:30. I'm surprised my wife hasn't come up the stairs and given me like the old, come on, it's time to watch our show. But off topic here, I think what we should do, another topic is, what is a great show to watch? Like, I just found out through D. Kennedy that Severance is the show to watch. So we just started. We're three episodes into Severance.
And
watch that. But
what are you thinking?
Joe, let Jeff Daddy back in. My God, I'm 51 and have no clue how to run a computer. But my brother is like worse off than me. What is going on?
He's got the bourbon. It took a while to pour the bourbon.
He's got the big Scully glass.
Yeah, pull up a chair. Pull up a chair.
So
pull up a chair.
I like it.
Jeff Daddy might not watch a lot of TV. Joe, you want anything right now? I'm big on the Severance.
Severance, you know, we Mobland just came out. Second episode drop. Very interesting. Paramount Plus. I'm giving a thumbs up on that.
On the list.
Definitely tune into it. Another one that, you know, it's corny, but it's good, is Tulsa King. I kind of like that one. Yeah. So we picked back up on season 2 on that and been watching that. This one's stupid, but I love it. To Catch a Smuggler. It's more of a documentary. It's like our border patrol, as well as like shipments and everything that comes into America. And I'm truly amazed how smart the cartel is. They're fucking smart people. They're smarter than everybody wants to give them credit. And just watching that show and learning, like, dude, these guys run a fully operational hundreds of millions, probably billion-dollar business, and they just fuck with our language. They just mess with our border patrol, and it's all documented. It's all right, but it's more. It grabs you in and keeps you going. So, but
show.
I'm going to give you one on Netflix. Golden Greed, The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure. I keep telling everybody about this. You need to watch Golden Greed, The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure. I was captivated by this thing. It's about this old man that wrote a book and put a hidden treasure out there. And these people went crazy trying to find it. Highly recommended. It's an easy watch. It's just a crazy documentary on Netflix. I highly recommend that.
Interesting. Any books you guys are reading?
I have Clayton Kershaw's book is in the mail coming. So that's kind of what I'm waiting on right now.
Brad, don't pee on the wall.
Don't know what happened there.
I'm reading a book. We're pregnant. So there you go. I just dropped some news on the NDL.
Yeah.
I'm having a baby boy next month. Trying to learn how to become a dad.
Even bigger, buddy.
Yeah, I got a big beard. Yeah. So. We went and saw him today. The boy's 6 pounds, 8 ounces.
Woo! So, yeah, baby.
We'll see. I'm just looking for height. You know, Jeff and I can't get any player over 6'6". So hopefully I can produce a 6'6". And that way we can strong arm it in.
Hey, Jiggy says Lincoln Lawyer is good. That's on our list, Jiggy.
Lincoln Lawyer?
That's on our list, Jiggy. Hey, how about in the last game day, we have a doctor named Dr. Bush? I thought that was pretty impressive, to be honest with you. I need to talk to him about arthritis in my fingers. I'm starting to get a little arthritis.
In your fingers?
Yeah, like this, my left pointer finger's got like arthritis now. I can start feeling it every day.
It's from all the games, all those blitz games you're not playing.
Well, yeah, I think that might be it. So I play 2 games a week, max. Maybe that's what's bothering me. I'm not in like video game shape.
Yeah, you're going to have to, that's a definite, you got to get in video game shape for sure.
Hey, and while we're on this, I'm just going to call you out. Can you please advance our Oklahoma City University Convict Lake Dynasty between you and I?
I got you.
Being that you've won like 9 straight national titles and I can't beat you, but still.
Hey, Dr. Bush recommends at least 5 games weekly, Mark.
Five games weekly?
Yeah, weekly.
I'm lucky if I get 3 games in, and that's just because of a dynasty game.
Well, the champ says 5.
Okay. That's probably – I wonder, like, how many games do you think Jiggy plays per week?
Ask him. He's right here. Jiggy, how many games do you play a week? I'm going to say
– I'm saying 30. Hey, we got to watch our language. We got kids in here. I just put that up on the thing.
Yeah, that's you, dude.
That's you, Joe.
I know.
None of us have said anything off – yeah. Jiggy, how many games a week do you play? Be honest.
1 million.
1 million.
No. Jeez.
Impressive. It's impressive. I play 3. Maybe that's my problem, why I've won so many. Well, not won a lot of games.
Speaking of next year, do you want to schedule a non-conference for next year, Mark?
I can do that. Why does everybody want to schedule me? Listen, I'll tell you why everybody wants to schedule me. I am 74 and 181 in this doggone thing. That might be why I get hit up so much. I think I got like 22 non-con requests.
God me. I wanted that game. I wanted to go back up to Syracuse. I had a great time when I was there last year.
We had a good time in Syracuse. Yeah. There's a good stuff to do in Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's also because I'm 74 and 181, Joe.
No, had nothing to do with that. Wanted to spend some time with you, talk haircuts.
Listen. Season 2, I was 8-3. Yep. Yep, I know it surprises most of you. And then season 5 with Fresno State, 7-5.
Mark, that was like 2004, though, bro.
Hey, I still was 8-3 with Marshall. Greatest season of my life. No one will take that away from me. 8-3 I was in the NDL. And then, yeah, I was in a bowl game, too. Lost it, but I was in a bowl game.
Mark, do you ever have a season where you didn't win a game?
Oh, yeah, probably 3 or 4 of those.
I had one season 24. I was Kent State. Don't even know why I was 0-12.
Season 12, San Jose State, 0-12. Season 15, 0-12. Season 11, 1-11. Season 9, 1-11. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Things Jiggy will never say in his life, right? We just played that game. Things Jiggy will never say.
Hey, Jiggy, do you remember coming to UCLA in the first play of the game? I ran a 90-yard touchdown on you. I should have just dropped the controller and walked away. It didn't happen, though. 35-7 later, I was done.
Oh, man.
So we've talked about the Masters. We all in consensus. We think Scottie Scheffler's got a chance to win it again, back-to-back, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't pick him to win, though.
I did.
I want to see Min Woo Lee win it.
You know, another thing I picked to win was Florida, and that paid out pretty well for me, as you boys know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe won $2,000. I had 3 out of 4 teams, and I came in 70th place. That tells you how good that pool was that Joe did 2,000. Last question, I think, for the whole thing here. Let's talk, what is the most overranked team in the NDL? I think we end on this note.
Overranked team, like to play with?
No, who's the most overranked team in the NDL?
Like coach or team?
Who gets more love than they should?
Coach or team?
I say both. Don't be scared now.
Gosh, I don't know enough on that. Yeah. I mean, Jiggy's really good, but Jiggy's really good, but he's never played me. I've reached out every season for him, but he turns me down.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm joking. I don't know. Mark, I have no idea. I really don't. I thought at the beginning Alabama was a little bit, as a team, not as a coach, as a team, was a little overpowered, and then you would see them lose games, whoever the matter the coach was. But I don't know.
You guys want me to jump first?
Yeah, jump in there, Joe.
No. I'll put my foot in my mouth here.
It doesn't matter. People, they respect us.
I'm going to go just looking at the schedule or looking at the rankings and where we're at. And I'm not sure that these teams were voted for whatever after week zero, but I'm going two teams. I'm going Louisville and Oklahoma, and they're right next to each other, 14-15 in one pool, 15-16 in the other pool. Not picking on that dude, not picking on Sergeant TZD, but I'm just wondering, Oklahoma was Jiggy last year. Is he ranked 15th because of what Jiggy did with them last year, or are they ranked 15th because of him? Yeah, and the other one's Louisville. Louisville coach, he's in his fourth season here, did well with South Alabama, did really well at TCU, made the college football playoffs last year. I realized that with TCU. So, fair enough. I get it. Put him in the rankings, see where he's at. But being at Oklahoma, being in the SEC, is he good enough to compete with that every day, in and out? And will he hold into the top 25? I think those are two that we might see drop out of the top 25.
Joe, I would say Oklahoma, and it has nothing about who is playing with Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma, like, I live in Oklahoma City. I used to be a UCLA fan. Chip Kelly ruined that for me. So I've been married to an Oklahoma lady for 30 years. She's a diehard Sooner fan. So I'm not really a college football fan, but I follow Oklahoma now. I've been a fan for 4 years. Oklahoma is the most overrated team. That team was terrible in real life. Terrible in real life. And to see what Jiggy did with them was like, all right, Jiggy's a great video game player. That has nothing to do, like, Oklahoma is not that good. So I would say overrated by far is Oklahoma, because in real life, terrible. Now, I know they beat Alabama here, but terrible in real life. And to be even in the top 25 is mesmerizing to me. That's like putting Syracuse at 12. Like, it doesn't make sense, right? And I think in real life, Syracuse is actually better than Oklahoma. I mean... And that just tells you why I had to kneel the ball for season 2 to let the EA and the NDL powers that may be, and those NDL suits know who they are.
And, Mark, can I ask you a question regarding that specific suit? Are you really just, is that shell? Was that for Shell?
Shell and I had a one-on-one private meeting in Texas at one of my games. We sat down and talked a long time about this. Okay. I had a good meeting with him. I would say Shell, NC Homie, yeah. Rain, Nibbler. I've called them all out. They know where to find me. They know how to get a hold of me. But that was season two. You know, what was great about season two is I would watch the live stream and I would see some random guy kneeling the ball in respect out of my anger with EA and the NDL suit. So that was great. But back to what the original comment was, Jeff Daddy, Oklahoma is the most overrated team I've ever seen in EA Sports. Overrated. Tell me I'm wrong.
Never played with them. Don't know.
Yeah, I did. It was a disaster. That just tells me how bad I am and how good some of these dudes are. They can win with that team. I got fired, I think, in season one of a dynasty. Like, they let me go immediately.
Yeah, they pretty much put the axe down on you real quick on that one. I remember that.
Yeah, it was Brian Bosworth, too. Like, they didn't even respect, like, a hometown. Like, yeah, I was fired after one season. That was embarrassing. Really embarrassing.
So we're talking rankings. We're talking most overranked team. Question is, Texas is 2-0. LSU is 1-0. LSU's champion from the previous season. At what point does Texas leapfrog LSU? Does he ever? Does he this week?
Full transparency, I went LSU, Texas in my vote.
There you go.
He's still the defending champion undefeated.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
No, you just reminded me that I need to vote. Is it already past the time? Shoot.
No, you still got time.
You got time. Who's your conference commissioner of the Mountain West? Yeah. That tells me a lot right there.
He doesn't pay attention.
Yeah. He's too cheapo-noing it up.
Yep. He's trying to figure it out. So as we wrap this up, I'm going to throw
you guys
one more
hear
time
me?
Out there.
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. I want – it looks like there's some beef between Vic and Block going on in our group chat. And if they want to jump on the show next week and play
– You guys hear me?
Do our show. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay.
Vic and Block have beef?
No, it looks like they got beef. They're going back and forth, yelling at each other.
Let's see it.
Yeah, I think this bourbon beer and NDL, I think this is the perfect podcast for honesty, open honesty.
Yeah.
I NDL media is an amazing thing, but like beer, bourbon and NDL, I think is where we settle things. It's real. And I think it's probably going to become the most listened to podcast in the NDL. I don't know how to put it.
We should have called this the pod for the people.
Pod for the people. Look, bourbon and beer are for the people, and we're just going to talk about ball. You know, and my expectation is everybody outside of El Jefe who's watching should have either a bourbon or beer in their hand. El Jefe, you're not old enough yet. You keep waiting. You'll get there. And you know, next week, I want to see some toasts and. Some roast as Block and Vic go at each other.
Are they going to play tonight? Is that what's going on?
I want them to play next week on our show.
We should do that. We should set that up.
It's a challenge.
I love it.
I would love to set that up.
Block says sign me up. I'm just waiting for Vic to say I'm in.
Mark, before we sign off, let's see if we can get this game schedule first.
I only have people come to Syracuse.
No, I'm talking about over here. We have Block and Vic. We're trying to get this set up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's get this thing done.
Vic's in.
Of course I'm in. Vic's in.
Block signed me up.
Vic's a stud. Block's a stud. Let's do it.
Yeah, those are two good dudes right there going at it.
It's a date. We will reach out to both of you. You will have an invite from Bourbon Beer and Ball or Bourbon Beer and Ball, and we will get this game next week figured out how to stream it live and talk while you guys play.
I love it. This is going to be amazing, man. What a great show, fellas.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks. Thanks everybody for tapping in.
Thanks, fellas. Yeah. See ya.
Cheers.
Cheers.